Okay, go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 21. Now this is, we're going to see Jesus again. He's talking to Pharisees. He's talking to those that he already told his disciples that their eyes were blinded and their ears, and that God was blinding them because they had rejected truth. So when you're hardened enough, this is what happens. And listen to what Jesus says to these people. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. And where I go, you cannot come. What does he say? You will seek me, but you will die in your sin. Later on he says, unless you believe. He's dealing with these same hardened people. And some did come to the Lord, but many of them did not. The five foolish virgins did seek him at the wrong time. See, that's the danger. People say, well, if you were backslid, you wouldn't want to come. The Scripture don't say this. Many people turn to the Lord in terror and in fear, and he's not listening anymore. Go back and read Scripture. They're hard Scriptures. God said in Proverbs, I, wisdom, I came after you, and I warned you repeatedly, and you stopped your ears to me. He says, when your terror overtakes you, I will stop my ears and mock your terror. That's horrible, isn't it? Saul sought God after God left him, and he says, and God didn't speak to me in dreams or by prophets, you know, or by the holy lot, you know. So he went to a demon spirit, a witch. He still didn't get no comfort from it. He was told the same thing that he was told before, you will die. He was offered no hope. Isn't that terrible? So that's the danger of those who consistently, Hebrews talks about impossible to renew them to repentance, who have despised the Spirit of grace. What did they despise? The Spirit of grace. And trample the blood of Jesus again. See, that's a dangerous position to get to. That's where the demons are. That's why devils and Satan cannot be redeemed. Go to one more scripture. You might have a hard time finding this one. Go back to Amos. After Joel, raise your hand when you get there, and I'll know who to wait for. I'm still looking. Yeah. Okay. Amos chapter 8. Look at verses 11 and 12. And this is after God has repeatedly warned Israel and the people who are sinning against him and rebelling. But the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land. Well, we know what a famine is. No bread, no food. Not a famine of bread, he says, nor a thirst for water. But what? A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. What is he going to send? He did it with the Pharisees. They could not. They understood him verbally, what he was saying, but they could not hear with their spiritual ears. They saw him and what he said, but they could not spiritually see. Why? God had sent a famine of the hearing of the word. It didn't say they didn't have the word. It didn't say they couldn't even read the word. Why? The Spirit would not open their understanding. Like the Pharisees, when he had hardened them, he wouldn't open it. See, that's a dangerous position. And notice what he says. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. We're seeing this today. We have a multitude of Christians, professing Christians, running to this meeting and that meeting to listen to all the stupid things and the false teachers and to profess. And they keep saying, oh, I want to grow in the Lord. But I only want to hear a positive thing. I don't hear nothing that's going to make me feel uncomfortable. Now, you know, I work all week long, and I don't need nothing to make me feel uncomfortable. I need something to lift me up. What they mean is they need the old man edified, and the Spirit never edifies the old man. God only has one cure for the old man, the cross. He don't want no Band-Aids. He don't want it patched up. He wants it dead. And he's never changed his opinion, and that means the old woman, too. If you're young, you still can have an old woman. It's that sin. It's that side of us that is still drawing, that magnetic pull that we have been freed from in Christ. But we will not be finally delivered from temptation in that pool until death or the rapture. And that's when this mortal shall put on immortality. That's when the temptation will cease. That's why we're still tempted. The devil still goes after the old man. You know, he is buried. He has judged the old man and put him in the grave until you let him out. I remember one of the dreams the Lord gave me years ago when I was dealing with the old man. You know, and I thought, you know, he was judged at the cross. That's the symbol of baptism. The old man's buried. You know, and I was walking by the graveyard and I saw the old man's arm come out. And I went over there to look at him. He grabbed my leg. And I'm running and trying to kick him off. And he don't, you know, that old man can resurrect real easy, can't he? You know, what did Hebrews says? And the sin, lay aside the sin that does so easily beset us. See, we always have to be on guard against the potential of the old man. You can go back. And he's always waiting for you, the same as the devil's waiting. And he must be kept under and dealt with. The spiritual man must say, no, you will not have dominion over me. No, I will not yield to you. See, that's our job. If you, by the Spirit, the new man, new woman, by the Holy Spirit's aid, that's what grace is, enabling. If you put to death the old man, the flesh, he says, you will live. If you don't, you'll die. And what does he say? They will seek the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. We've got a lot of people who are running from meetings to meetings, and every time one of them comes into town, they fill up the churches with them. They have to rent an auditorium to listen to the false prophets and the false teachers, those who mix the word of God with heresies. If you want to go to the meeting, go. You might get a lying spirit. You don't have to go. Turn on your television. There's most of them there. But be careful. Watch what you hear. Do they convict of sin? Do they deal with sin? Only in general terms. Because they're false. They're smooth prophets. And God did not send them. What did we say? God said in Jeremiah, if they were prophets of the Lord, they would turn my people from their sins. That's the sign of a true prophet and minister. And from their evil doings. They're not doing that nowadays. You're under grace. It's all grace. And just live as you please. The blood has covered us. Jesus called it a doctrine of the devil in Revelations, if you study what he meant. They will not find him. Jeremiah 5. That's easy to find because it's so big. You can just open your Bible and usually you'll hit Jeremiah sometime, won't you? Jeremiah 5. This one. 5:3. When God's judgment was coming on a people. O Lord, or O Jehovah, are you not your eyes on the truth? What is God looking at? The truth. You have stricken them, and they have not grieved. You have consumed them. What did he do it with? The word. He sent the prophets. He sent the law to what? Smite them in their sins, to show them their sins. And the chastening the Lord will get into is grievous. Why? It corrects. The word strikes us. It pierces us. It's called the spirit of truth. It'll always expose the lie. You know what it does when we get callous? And see, there's grace again. We get callous. And even backsliders. And many backsliders come back to the Lord. We just can't guarantee that God's going to keep dealing with them. See, that's the trouble. If they die in that state, they'll go to hell. But some have not, many have not gotten to the place of blasphemy and Holy Ghost. And so what does he do? They eventually listen to that word, or when it comes again. And what does he do? With the sword of the Spirit, he just cuts that callus off. Have you ever cut a callus off and gone a little too deep? I've done it a few times. Oh, is it sensitive, huh? But if your foot's sensitive, and see, when the Holy Spirit takes the word and you're willing to listen, he'll cut through that hardness. How do people get saved if the God of this world has blinded them? The entrance of the truth. The Holy Spirit comes with the word. And he cuts through it. And they have to respond to it or they have to suppress it. See, they're given opportunity to do either. That's why I tell people, don't fight conviction. That's suppressing the truth. Accept God's evaluation. You know, be like David. Saul made excuses for his sins. A half-hearted repentance that wasn't true. He acknowledged he had sinned. He was a hypocrite. Read what he did. But David, when he was confronted with his sin and adultery, what did he say when God judged him? When he said, that man who's done this should die, and the prophet says, you're the man. And the scripture says he repented. He accepted his punishment. See, he was smart. He was smart. He understood. You have to accept God's chastening at times. Okay, what have they done? God says, I have stricken them. He struck them with his word. He sent his prophets, the law. You have consumed them, and they have refused to receive correction. You might want to underline that. You might want to write that. This is why people are deceived. This is why people give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is why people backslide. This is why people turn away from the Lord. This is why people don't come to the Lord. For this very thing here, they have refused to receive correction. See, they don't want to hear it. And we're going to see the sign of the last time is this. They have made their faces harder than what? Rock. What have they done? They've hardened their conscience and said, I will not hear anything negative. I only want a positive word. I know I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. Oh, well, you know, they go and excuse it instead of dealing with it. But God loves me unconditionally. No matter what I do, he loves me. And I say, yep, and as the angels drop you into hell, he'll love you until the door is shut on you. But it won't change the truth. And it won't change holiness. See, they're not telling them, yeah, God loves you. He loves mankind. He has no ill will. But he's just and holy. And one day he will consign the wicked to hell forever. That's horrible, but that's the truth. Don't give people half-truths. Give them the whole truth. If you're going to tell them God loves them no matter what they do, you say, yeah, and he'll send you to hell too because of truth. He'll extend love and grace, but love and grace will stop at the doors of hell. But truth and holiness will go on forever. The smoke of their torment shall ascend before the Lamb and his angels forever. There's no grace and love offered anymore. There is no feeling from God. God is not weeping in heaven for them. That's a lie that ministers tell people. It says they will be tormented day and night, and the smoke of their torment shall ascend before the Lamb. And what did he say? God's attitude toward those in hell. You think it's bad here? The word is utter contempt. It means total disregard. You don't give them a second thought. That's the horror of hell. That's the hopelessness of hell. They don't matter anymore. God has turned his back and doesn't give you a second thought. Isn't that horrible? That's called wrath. That's God's answer for sin that is unrepented of. That's the burning, consuming fire. It's God. See, that's the horror when people do not want to play with God. And what did he say? They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. They once knew God and the children of Israel and the people of Jeremiah's time. Many of them didn't know God. And they're backslid. Many of them had turned from the Lord to idols. And Jesus told the Pharisees, well, remember when Peter said, you've offended them when you told them they were hypocrites because they had laid aside the word of God for their traditions? And what did Jesus say? A horrible thing. And he meant it. See, people don't like the hard words of Jesus, but go listen to him. He said, leave them alone. Let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. What was that? That was his final evaluation on this. And most of those are the ones he said cannot hear no more. And God will not open their eyes. Why? They tampered with the word of God. And Jesus said what? You'll not only enter the kingdom yourself, but those who tried to enter, you hindered them. What a danger. These were supposed to be the prophets and the priests to represent God. And look what they had done. Yeah, they receive the greater judgment. The pastors and shepherds who lie to people in the Lord's name are going to go to the greater hell. You know, that's the horror of messing with God's truth. Did he change? Had God changed? No. Ephraim, scripture says Ephraim, another name for Israel. Ephraim has turned to idols. Let him alone. That was God. Ephraim has turned to idols. Let him alone. The same thing he was telling the Pharisees when Peter said, did you know you offended them? He said, leave them alone. Why? He just called them hypocrites. He says, you put your tradition, your churchianity, your denomination before the word of God is what he's saying. And he said something interesting. How can you escape the damnation of hell? It was a rhetorical question. You cannot. See, that was the end result of messing with the truth. See, that's the end of what happens to those who tamper with God's truth, because it will stand forever. Hardened. Two things, basically. You know why people are deceived? I always tell you there's two basic reasons. They either don't want the truth, or they reject the truth. That's why people sin and backslide. Everything is summed up in that. If you sin, If you get involved in the works of the flesh and you start disobeying God, then you are sinning against truth. You know? So that's the only two reasons. You don't, what he said, those who diligently seek me will find me. Those who seek me with all their heart. So you got to be seeking if you want truth, and you won't be deceived. Or you have to reject or suppress the truth when the Holy Spirit's dealing with it. That's why people backslide. The deceitfulness of sin, what does it do? Hardens. I've had many people tell me, years ago I used to do a lot of counseling. I've cut out 98% of it because I figured it was a waste of time. I'll be honest with you. It was a waste of time. You know why? Because I found the Word of God will enlighten them. If they don't want the Word of God, I ain't got nothing to counsel them. They want you to pacify them in their sin. They want to tell you, well, I know that's wrong, but I still love God. How many people have I had hang a phone up on me? You don't know my heart. You don't know how I love God. I said, you do love God. I believe that like a cat and a dog. You like cats and dogs. You have an affection for God like you have for your cat and your pigeons and your dogs and your tropical fish. It means you have a liking. My boss almost fired me years ago. I was doing construction work, and I hadn't been a Christian but a few years. And he prided himself on being a good Christian. He was living in adultery and going to church. And he was sitting there talking to me like, and he asked me something, and I said, well, you're not a Christian. Oh, I thought he was going to fire me. He said, how can you say that? He said, you can't judge my heart. I said, no, I can judge what you're doing. You're living in adultery. Are you living in adultery? And he thought, oh, yeah, I'm running out with my wife. He said, but I love God. I said, you're a liar. That's when he almost fired me. I said, I can prove you're a liar. Well, you don't know my heart. I said, I do. You just told me your heart. I know your fruit, too, because you just told me. Out of the abundance of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, but I love God. I went to John. I said, you know what Scripture says? He that says he loves God and walks in darkness is a liar and the truth is not in him. He walked away. He didn't know what to say. Never bothered me again. Till at Christmas time, I had to go eat at the Christmas party, and his wife came up to me. And she decided to debate me and tell me how she was a Christian. And I asked her a few questions, and she said, now, do you believe I'm a Christian? I says, no. Oh, she had to get up and go get a drink. Actually, she got two or three drinks, offered me a few. I said, no, I don't need it. She come back and tried to convince me as a Christian. Same thing. You don't know my heart. I said, you just told me your heart. You know? But you don't know that. You know? I went back and gave her appropriate scripture. You know, she said, get out of my house. I can't endure that. I got up and left. Her husband comes out and apologizes for her. Even he knew he couldn't rule her. She later on said, well, I apologize, but I believe you're wrong. I said, that's your prerogative. You see, many people think they're Christians, and they're living in sin. They're liars, and the truth is not in them. And Jesus said, go to John, the one who talks so much on grace and love. But notice what else he said. He that walks in darkness is a liar. And he says, he that does not keep God's word or hates his brother, he says, is a murderer. And you know, you notice what he said, and you know, no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And we got false teachers today saying, well, they'll just lose their reward. No, they're going to lose their soul. See? Let's get back to the truth. I don't care about people's experiences. I've had lots of experiences. They don't save me. Staying in the Lord is what saves me. You know? Experiences are good, but they ain't no good today if you ain't walking in the Lord. Okay? So people only deceive, what, two reasons? They do not seek the truth or want it, or they refuse it. That's why they're deceived. And that's why Christians backslide and become lukewarm, carnal, worldly, indifferent, and they go to hell if they die in that state. 2 Timothy. Everybody knows this one if you've been studying Scripture long enough. Everybody don't like this one either. 2 Timothy, go to 3:16 first. All Scripture, old and new, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You know what it means? It is breathed out by God. See, that's what really the prophetic word is. It is breathed out. The Holy Spirit has given life to His Word. And what the Spirit and the Word always agree. And is profitable. You want to talk about profitability? It means it's what? It produces something. It's produced what? It's good. It's proper for teaching. That's what doctrine is. For reproof. The word reproof is to chasten or rebuke. It means to come against strongly. For correction. Write that one down. That's the important one. That's mainly. Did you know 40-some% of the epistles are considered negative? And that's why many of these smooth prophets don't quote 40% of the New Testament. Why? Because 40% of it rebukes, reproves, chastens, and corrects, and exhorts, and admonishes. And they're not pleasant, are they? But they lead to life. See, you can't get life until you've gone down. You don't get the spiritual life till the old man dies. See, they want God to anoint the old man. He won't do it. He'll never anoint the old man. He wants him dead and out of the way. Okay? That's why these are false shepherds and false prophets. That the man of God, what's the purpose? May be mature, fully equipped for every good work. You want to talk about good works? That's what good works is. You allow the Scripture to do what it needs to do with you. It will comfort you when you need comforting, but it will not comfort you in your sins. And false prophets are comforting people in their sins and promising God's blessings when they're not repentant and when they're carnal and worldly. It's a lying spirit, because God don't do this. God comforts those who resist temptations and are suffering because of the faith. And let me give you another little secret. God does not comfort people in self-pity. Self-pity is the work of the flesh. It's self-centeredness. He don't do it. And many people want, and you know, they're going to psychiatrists now, you know, because the ministers won't comfort them in their sins. Uh-oh, getting a little hard now, huh? Okay, next verse. But remember, though, what is the Word of God for? One of the main purposes is in correction and reproof. And that's negative. That's where the sword comes in. See, it's a two-sided sword. It comes to judge or to prune. And we decide what it does. You know? It either prunes us for more fruit or it slays the wicked. That's what the Word of God does. And we either do what? Like we talked about last week. As the sun, we become wax before the Word of God and melt, or we become like mud and harden. But the sun is not changed, and neither has God. And if you resist the truth, then the lie comes. God has not changed, nor has His principles changed. Okay, listen. Go to verse 2 of chapter 4. Preach the Word. It means to proclaim it. Be ready in season and out of seasons. It means at all times. Now notice what he says. Convince. The word is convict. Rebuke and exhort. Wow. Are your pastors doing that? If they're not, they're ignorant, or they're smooth talkers because they don't know the times we're living in, or they weren't called of God and they're stupid heads, or they're false. You can go back and judge them yourself. We live in a deceptive time. We live in a dark time, and your ministers, whether they're pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, or teachers, they better be doing a lot of this today. But what is going to be response to this? We'll find out. For the time will come. Okay? When is it going to come? We're getting there. We're there. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. Why will they not do it? It means they will not put up with it. Why won't they put up with it? You know why? Because they have refused correction. They're saying what? Well, I don't like that because it's negative. It don't make me feel good. And they just think they can forget that. Oh, tell me something smooth. You know what they said to Ezekiel and Jeremiah, the people? Do not prophesy to us what the Holy One of Israel says. Tell us smooth things. Do not tell us. They actually said that. Do not tell us what the Holy One of Israel says. Tell us smooth things. They really wanted it, didn't they? And God answered them. And He gave them what they wanted. And the children of Israel said what? And we lust after flesh. There's a symbol there. And we want flesh. What did they reject? The bread from heaven. And Jesus said, what? I am the bread from heaven. They were given angel food cake. Six times a week. And you know what they said after a while? We loathe this manna. The Scripture says it was sweet to the taste. And it supplied all their needs. And they loathed it. And they said, we wish we were back in Egypt where we had fish and garlic and onions. I would have said at least steak and potatoes. They sold their soul. They were worse than Esau for a bowl of soup. We loathe this manna. And you know what God said? He said, I fed you with manna to humble you, to train you, to discipline you. And they said, but we loathe it. And he says, then I will give you meat. And he said, and not for a day, nor for a week, nor what? He said, I'll give it for a month, until it comes out your nose, until you eat so much you vomit it out your nose. You ever had that to happen to you? I have. You know that burning sensation, don't you? He says, until it comes out. And then the scripture says, King James doesn't really make it plain, where it says, he sent them leanness of soul. No, the original says, and he destroyed the mightiest among them. After they ate the flesh and lusted after it. Scripture says they lusted at it. They coveted it. They refused what? The will of God. They refused to be corrected. They refused the truth. And he gave them what they want. You be careful. God may give you what you want. But he said he sent a wasting disease to destroy the mighty among them. That was the consequence. See, they wanted the taste of the meat. They wanted the flesh. And God says, you'll get it. But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, they didn't want to understand the consequence. So refuse correction, and you open yourself up to a lie, and you open yourself up to hell. That's the final end. Okay, and what does it say? They will not endure sound teaching. Not only that, what are they going to do? They're going to suppress the truth, or they're going to refuse it. I don't want to hear it. I've had many people tell me that. I've had ministers tell me that. You know what they told me? You're dangerous. You're dangerous. I thought, boy, if you knew the danger you're in. You know. I said, you're dangerous. I said, yeah. To the old man, I should be very dangerous. You know, but it'll save the soul if they listen. And what does he say? They'll not only refuse to be corrected and hear the truth because they don't like it or they don't want it. It don't taste right to them. You know why it don't taste right? Because they're pigs. And pigs like slop. And they become backsliders. And they don't like spiritual things anymore. Oh. Then they'll deny the Lord that saved them. They're not sheep anymore. They're pigs. No? See, they like slop. They like the things of the world. And what does he say? But according to their own desires. The word there is according to their own coveting lust. Coveting lust and desires basically means the same here. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. What are they going to say? We'll find the kind of minister we want. We don't need you. That's why I'm teaching you. And I'm not invited to many churches. Because basically, the people as a whole are saying, we don't like that. That's sort of hard. That's a little rough. You know, we don't like that. We like to feel good. Okay. And what does he say? And it's all right to feel good if you're right with God. And what does he say? And because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves. Heaping what? What does that heaping mean? They will gather in abundance. All the false teachers and prophets that tell them everything they want to hear. Every wind of doctrine. Every new thing that comes along, they're going to jump on it. If it sounds good and it tickles the old man and makes them feel good. And anything that's truthful, we don't want to hear this. That's negative. Let's not hear anything negative. But notice what else will happen to them. Because what? They will not endure correction. And their hearts are hardened. And their conscience is being seared. Look what happens. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. See, that's the danger when you stop listening to lying spirits and you refuse God's word or God's messenger. The truth will be withdrawn because it's suppressed. And what happens? The lie comes. And will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to lies. That's what the word fables mean. You refuse the truth, then God says, okay, I have something for you. And at the end, when the Antichrist comes, the whole world, he will finally complete that scripture. Because men love not the truth, it says God will give them over to a delusion that they should be damned. Who's going to do it? God. And what is he going to send? A delusion. He's God's devil. He still uses them when it suits him. You don't want the truth? He says, go get him, demon. Give him the lie. Go back and read. We covered Ahab. The prophet told him. God sat on his throne and said, what? Who will cause Ahab to die and stumble for me? God had already, what, pronounced him too wicked because Jezebel killed his prophets. And Ahab would do nothing about it. And God had determined what? I want him dead and out of the way. And God asked the angels, who will cause them to go and fall for me? And all the angels came up with answers, and they didn't come up with the right one. And the scripture says a spirit came forth. It was a demon spirit. It's probably the devil. He said, I'll do it. And the Lord says, how will you do it? And he says, what? I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, go, you will succeed. And what did the 400 and some prophets say? Go, God will give you the victory. And every one of them said that, but who? Micaiah. And what did Ahab say? Because he refused correction. And Jehoshaphat was a righteous king. And Jehoshaphat had a little discernment. He didn't have too much, but he had a little. And he was listening to these people prophesy. He says, isn't there any prophets of Jehovah left? I mean, his witness, he got a good witness. They ain't speaking by God. But they were telling the king what he wanted to hear. Go, for God will give you the victory. Well, Jezebel killed most of the prophets, or they were hiding in caves. Evidently, he kept Micaiah around for some reason, hadn't killed him. And remember the story. He comes out and he says what? He says to Jehoshaphat, you know, yeah, there's one left, but I hate him. I hate him because he never prophesies good for me. Well, see, God has nothing good to say to a wicked person, but repent. He said, I'd listen to him if he told me some good thing. He never had nothing good to say to him. And lo, what does God do to the sinner at the end? He mocks them. Wisdom will mock them. And what did Micaiah do? The same as Elijah did. He mocked the king. And Micaiah says what? Go, for God will give you the victory. He's telling them what? Just what his father... And what is Micaiah... Even Ahab had enough discernment that he was being sarcastic. He said, how many times have I told you? Only tell me the truth. He wanted the truth, didn't he? But he never obeyed it. And he told him what God had determined, and he still didn't listen. Talked about sin, deceiving a person. He told him the counsel of God, and how all these prophets were liars and had demons. And Ahab says, well, I'll disguise myself. What a deception. And he said, now take this man of God, this prophet, and put him on bread and water until I come back. See, he meant to kill him when he comes back for giving a false prophecy. And Micaiah's last words was what? He said, listen, people. Notice I'm not talking to king anymore. He said, listen, people, if he comes back, I wasn't speaking by God. See, he knew he wasn't coming back, and he didn't come back, did he? He died. Okay, so what happens? When you turn your ears away from the truth, you are turned to what? Lies. See, that's the demonic spirit that works. And today, what? It says they will heap to themselves. What will they heap? Teachers and prophets of their own heart, telling them what they want to hear, lying to them. And I said, well, as long as it makes me feel good, I don't care. You know, don't tell me the truth if it disturbs me. But when they're in hell, they're going to wish they heard the truth. They're going to be utter remorse forever. And there'll be nothing they can do about it. Okay, you know where Lamentations is? At the end of Jeremiah. It's called the Lamentation of Jeremiah. What did he say in one scripture? If they stood in my counsel, the prophets, he meant the true prophet. He said, what if they stood in my counsel? They would turn my people from their sins and from their evil doings. Okay? And look what he says here. Lamentations, chapter 2, verse 14. Are you there? Raise your hand. If you're not there, we'll wait a little bit. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. Isn't that what the ones before Micaiah and Ahab did? They saw lying vision. They told the people what they wanted to hear. But he called it what? False and deceptive. What is a deception? We're talking about deception. To believe a lie. And notice what he says. They have not uncovered your iniquity. See, he said what? If they were true prophets, they would uncover your sin. If you're in sin. We're going to see when we get into prophecy in the New Testament. That's what it did. It wasn't most of the stuff you're hearing today. Oh, thus saith the Lord, you're my sweet little children, and I love you no matter what you do, and you're covered by the blood. Go sin all you want. And all these little flowery, stupid things. And I believe in personal prophecy, and it has its place. But again, if people don't listen to sound doctrine, they don't need no prophecies. They're going to get a lying spirit. God don't give these things to people who aren't walking in the life they're given. They think they're going to skip the Word of God and get something special. When you think you're going to get something special, you're already ripe for a demon because pride's already there. No, you better adhere to what you know and let God decide if He wants to give you something extra. You better hold to the ground of truth first. That's why all of these people are being deceived by false prophets. Oh, I got this word of the Lord, and I got this word of the Lord, and blah, blah, blah. And I sit there, and they don't even know Scripture. And they've supposedly been in the Lord for 10 and 20 years, and they tell me all of their experiences and their lies, because I've been around most of them. And they don't even know Scripture. They don't even know how to handle the Word of God. Oh, I led someone to the Lord the other day. I said, how did you do that? I told them, you know, salvation is just like a gift. Jesus just wants to give it to you. You want to receive it? Yeah. And they were saved. Now, wasn't that wonderful? Where was conviction of sin? Where was their duty to forsake all and follow the Lord? It wasn't there. That's why we get lots of converts. How many want to come up to the front and accept Jesus? Now, everybody close your eyes, because we don't embarrass nobody. Okay, slip up that hand. Now come to the front. Now nobody look. I get up and I go. I want to see them. You know, God don't have no cowards. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. You know, we don't want to embarrass anybody. Holy Spirit never embarrasses anybody. Conviction of sin embarrasses. God will reveal your sin. I've done it to people, and I've had God do it to me. You play with Him long enough, you'll see whether He'll embarrass you or not. He ain't worried about your sin. If you don't forsake it, He'll deal with it. And if you got pride, He knows how to humiliate you, and He'll do it. See, a lot of people don't believe that. He resists the proud. He reveals the secrets of their heart. We'll get into what prophecy does. And you'll see a lot of this charismatic prophecy and Pentecostal prophecy. And I'm a charismatic, and I'm a Pentecostal, forgive me. But I believe the Word, and I believe most of them are false. And most of them have perverted the law and perverted the new law. And the false prophets have come in and swept on all of this. So I don't like titles. I like the Word of God. And they're going to imitate, and they're going to produce falses. And what did He say? They have not uncovered your sin to bring back your captives, but have what? Envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. Telling people they're okay when they're not okay. Telling backsliders and lukewarm that God loves them no matter what they do without telling them, yeah, if you die today, you'll go straight to hell. You know, give them the whole counsel of God if you're going to tell them that. God is long-suffering, but tell them, what about despising the Spirit of grace? You know, don't give backsliders any assurance that God's going to tolerate them, because He may not. See, I'm more tolerant of people who've never heard the gospel. I'm very intolerant of backsliders, because my Scripture doesn't have me saying anything good to them. Lukewarm, carnal backsliders are rebuked sharply that they'll repent. He ain't told to say anything flowering to them. They're God's enemies. They're reproached to Him. Don't you sit there and tolerate it. Then you're just like them. See, that's why He told us to break fellowship. Not even to eat with people who call themselves Christians and we know are living in gross sin. He said, you don't even eat with them. Why? Because they're partaking of the devil's table, and Jesus and Paul said, well, you're not to partake of that. If you break fellowship, you're supposed to tell them what God has already done. How can you have spiritual fellowship with a backslider when God has already broken it? You better than God? He says, no, put them out of your midst. Rebuke them. Tell them to get right. Then you take them back. You know? But don't be taking them back when there's no repentance. Don't be sitting there saying, oh, see, you want to give them the fellowship is only for those who are in the Spirit. God, don't give fellowship to those who are not in the Spirit. He gives warnings and reproofs. And we see this in the churches, the seven churches. Go to 2 Peter. Oh, we're getting toward the end, aren't we? 2 Peter. Verse 19. We covered chapter 2, the first few, about the false prophets among the people and the false teachers who will bring in destructive heresies. But back up to 19. We, he's talking about the apostles who laid the foundation, apostolic teacher. Let me give you a little secret. Any teaching that Paul, Peter, James, John, Luke teaches that no teacher today teaches, they're false. It's very simple. If it can't be confirmed by apostolic teaching, it's false. Any prophecy that cannot be balanced by them, you better throw it out. They were the foundation of truth, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. And if you find anything that's outside of what they taught or cannot be judged by what they said, you better leave it alone, because it's false. The foundation has been laid, and you don't need a new foundation. You need to build on what was laid. And notice what he says here. And we heard this voice, 18, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Talking about when Jesus was transfigured, the three of them, John, and him and James. And we also have the prophetic word made more sure. What is he saying? A lot of people today, oh, they run around prophesying everybody. The reason why most of them are false is, again, because they don't know Scripture. And everything they're saying is contrary to what Scripture says about a person living in carnality and worldliness. And they said, oh, this is higher. Now they don't read the Bible because they have the Holy Spirit now. I've heard people say, oh, I don't even read the Bible. I have the Holy Spirit. No, you've got a lying spirit. Because the Spirit and the Word always agree. Always. He said, we have what? A more sure prophetic word. What is he saying? All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration. From Genesis to Revelation, what is he calling this? Prophecy made sure. And any personal prophecy takes second place to this. That's why in the early church, and today even, if prophecies are given, it is to be judged. It is to be judged by those with prophetic gifts or discerning of spirits and according to what Scripture says. And let me tell you, most prophecies that I've sat in meetings and heard, I already judged by the Word, were not from the Lord. You don't need discerning of spirits. You need to know how to read Scripture. And God don't give discerning spirits to people who don't know the Word of God. See? People think there's a shortcut. There is no shortcut. You're going to know the truth to get more truth. And discerning of spirits is often given to those with prophetic gifts, and it's supposed to be given to pastors, and most of them don't have it. Because most of them aren't called. And they're not sound in the Word of God. And he ain't given. If they can't judge things by the Word of God, they will not get the Holy Spirit's judgment on the matter. Okay? So we have a more sure word. Even the whole book of Revelations is called a prophecy. What is prophecy? We're going to get into this next week. Basically, it don't mean to foretell or of the future. That's a small aspect. It means to foretell the mind of God at the moment. An anointed preacher and a teacher at times must prophesy. And if he prophesies, he must have teaching in it. See, it's interesting. So that's what it means. If I convict you, then you've received prophesying whether you understood it or not. It may not have been a thus saith the Lord, but if it's sound doctrine and the Spirit's moving, it's just as real and sure. See, people want something special. Yeah, they're going to get something special, but it ain't going to come from the Lord. 1 minute. I only have 1 minute. Oh, my Lord. Okay, so we're going to see two things next week we'll get into. The Word of God, which is Scripture, when it's moved upon, when the fivefold ministry, apostolic, prophetic, evangelist, pastors, and teachers use it, when the exhorters use it, it is prophecy. It is when you hear that word that people pervert often, but it's when the Logos becomes the Rhema. It's when the written Word of God, when the Holy Spirit acts on it, it becomes a Rhema. It means alive. That's what the Rhema word is. There's only two basic words. There's a couple others, but basically, most of the words you see in Scripture are either Rhema or Logos. But it's interesting, there are times that the word, the written word, is mentioned in both contexts. It's hard to tell the difference. So when people preach by the Spirit or teach or prophesy by the Spirit, then it's Rhema. Then you can say it's prophecy. See, it ain't the future telling. Sometimes that's involved, but that ain't mainly what it means. It means to tell forth the mind of God in the matter. What is the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge? To speak God's wisdom and knowledge for the moment. That's what it means. To expound Scripture. Or to deal with individuals when necessary. And that's where the revealing of people's secrets come in. You know? So we'll get into prophecy and support it. So what? The Word of God and prophecy is what we're going to deal with. And both of them basically mean to expose or expound on the mind of God for the matter. See, the prophet was God's ambassador in the Old Testament. He's summed up in the New with the fivefold ministries and more. And then there is a special prophetic gift that certain people have as a prophetic ministry. They just don't prophesy. You know? But it means to speak forth the mind of God. So see, if you're listening to exhortation or warning or teaching, at times, if you're where you're supposed to be or you're open, the Holy Spirit comes in and And you say, I think he was talking about me. You know, see, because the Holy Spirit has made it what? Personal. And you think that that preacher's talking to you. How did he know that? Well, see, you don't often. But the Spirit knows. See, that's what it means. So again, we're dealing with two things. The written Word of God and prophecy. And this is what we do not want to refuse. And we see it summed up in the New Testament.